Hey everyone, this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are delighted to see you all. Hi everyone, hi Lisa and Mike, Kathy, Rita, Susan, and many more. And so I'd like to go ahead and start. This is our third Thursday World Peace Diet Facilitator Zoom call on July 20th, 2023. That piece of music that we were just listening to is very appropriate, I think, for today, because that is from our Animal Songs album, and it's called Fish Song. Cow song, pig song, turkey song, duck song, geese song, calf song, lamb song, and fish song, of course, because all the animals that we're eating. We have Mike Young with us a little later, pretty soon, and he's going to be talking about vegan community and the upcoming health optimization cruise, and being a really wonderful entrepreneur, really, I think, in the vegan movement, creating lots of opportunities for people. And so we'll go ahead and, as people are joining us here, it's just about 5 o'clock Pacific time. And, of course, quite a few people will be listening into the recording later, but we just send our love to them, too, as we start. So I guess I'll go ahead and jump in, and we'll do a short meditation, and then I'll introduce Mike. And then feel free, of course, to ask any questions. You can press *6 if you're on the phone, or press if you go to the reactions at the bottom, you can raise your hand down there. That's a good way to do it. Or just unmute yourself. Whatever. That all works. And I'm holding up now something really wonderful. This is, you know what this is? This is a nectarine. These are really good. So we have a little tree in our food forest. Only one, really, that is a nectarine tree, but it's like one of our favorite trees. And of course, I have a lot of favorite trees, but this is really one of our favorite trees because it's a little graceful, self-effacing little tree. You hardly even notice it, but it gives so many incredibly delicious nectarines. Last year, we got 700 of these nectarines. And she's doing the same thing this year. It's just like full. The branches would break if we didn't tie them up with ropes because they're so dragged down by the weight. It's just like massively. I don't know how. It's like amazing. Like where does all that intelligence and matter come from? Right? It comes out of the soil, water, air, and it's amazingly sweet. Like we bring these to the farmer's market. And we just tell people they're 2 for $1, and we have samples. They try it, and they just buy them. We have people buying 10, 20, 30 at a time. That's what we did last year. We just we sold them. We used a lot. We gave away, but we sold them too because they're veganic, right? They're veganic, and they're amazingly good. So right now we just finished up with an incredible cherry harvest. We had by far the most we've ever had cherries, and then we had figs, and now we're having nectarines. So it's really great. And Madeline's bringing in lots of greens from the garden. She has been, and then we have now quite a lot of cucumbers, tomatoes, and other things like that. So yeah, it's great. Between our garden and the local farmers market on Friday evenings here in Middletown, California, which is in the middle of nowhere up in Lake County, we've got some good great food here, locally sourced. That's really the way to do it. You know, as much as possible, if you can get your food right locally, it's the best thing if possible, I think. But anyway, so let's go ahead. It's fantastic to go ahead and get started. So we're at home, so I'm at the piano, so I think this should work. We'll do a short guided meditation. Feel free to turn off your cameras if you prefer. This is time just to go within for a few minutes and before we begin our call. let's join together now in our time of meditation. Opening our hearts to the truth that there is one life, one infinite loving source of all manifestations here. Just connecting with our breathing. With every exhalation, we allow ourselves to relax more deeply into this present moment that we are sharing together, not only through the ability that we have to connect through the technology, but more importantly, we're joined by the inner yearning to be a force for healing on this earth, to awaken every day more fully to the inner wisdom and compassion and awareness that are our true nature, and to cooperate with others and to contribute to creating the solutions to the problems that are besetting humanity at this time. And so with every exhalation, we relax into the home that is our own heart. We relax into the only holy moment right now, into gratitude and appreciation for the beauty that surrounds us, that dwells within us, in every cell of our being, in the forests and rivers and mountains and oceans that we see so beautifully displayed in all the animals as they celebrate their lives on this magnificent earth. So we take a moment now to send our appreciation and love to all the animals of this earth, the birds in the skies and the marine animals in the waters, all the land animals and the insects and all members of the infinite dance of life on this earth. And we send our love to them. We ask their forgiveness on behalf of humanity for the terrible suffering that we inflict upon them. They are magnificent and innocent. We open our hearts now to all human beings, sending love to everyone. May everyone awaken out of the delusion of animal agriculture, out of the delusion of fear and disconnectedness from nature. So we see every cell in our being now filled with the light of truth, filled with the light of vitality and wisdom. This physical being and all of our affairs all of our relationships. Guided by the wisdom and the underlying mission and purpose of this lifetime that we have. We give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth to meet the challenges, to overcome the delusions, to shine the light of awareness, to bring healing into the difficult places on this world. And we open our hearts now to a sense of understanding at a deeper level what we are as beings that are eternal, that we were never born and will never die, that we're manifesting through a physical vehicle, but we are far more than that. Just as all living beings, manifestations of eternal awareness and creativity. So we connect with our purpose, getting a feeling for what we understand to be our purpose for this lifetime. Happy, and may all beings be free. Let's radiate love now into the vast field of relations, breathing and radiating love to all living beings. We feel the sense of love shining in our heart, a sense of kindness and benevolence. Radiate this loving kindness to every living being. Breathing and radiating love. And now we engender compassion in our hearts, the great wish that all beings be liberated from suffering and all the causes of suffering, and our yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others. So we allow this feeling of compassion to fill our heart, and we radiate it to all beings in all directions, filling the whole world with the light of compassion for all living beings. And now with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of joy, the joy of being, the joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. And with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of joy to fill the entire planet, a great joy that sings at the heart of all living beings, breathing and radiating joy. And finally, we engender in our heart the feeling of peace, equanimity, and with every exhalation, just radiating peace into the world. Abiding in peace, seeing the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace. Bathed in the truth of harmony that underlies everything. Abiding in our true home of love, compassion, joy, and peace. May we continue together to do our best to build a human society that loves and cares for everyone, that reflects the truth. Our true nature, of our empathy and creative genius that is within each and every one of us. We give thanks, knowing this is so, and knowing that we are part of an awakening of humanity on this earth at this time. We give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters in the vegan movement and all the liberation movements. We give thanks for all of our teachers, all the teachings, for the inner teacher that shines in our own heart. And we give thanks knowing that every day we are awakening more fully and authentically to the truth that we are, to the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining in our meditation time together. And we are in mid-July, July 20th. It's a hot day here. I'm a little sweaty, but that's good. And we're very grateful for all of you, for our movement, and for the opportunity that we have now to hear a little bit from Mike Young, who's joining us from Florida. I believe, maybe I'm wrong about that. Mike, you're probably somewhere else, not Florida. But, where are you now? Let us know here.
Yeah, I'm in the Northern Virginia area.
Right.
Outside of D.C.
near don't get too close.
I'm near Gwen Whitaker from, I know that you know her from Green Fair, just right down the road actually from us, so.
Great. Yeah, we love Gwen. She's wonderful. That's great. So, yeah, she's fantastic. Well, listen, I'm going to say a few words about Mike. We're so glad that you've joined us. We'll have a few minutes here in the beginning of our call to talk and hear from Mike and what he's some of his projects are. Mike's a longtime vegan, not just a vegan, but a health promoting vegan and animal rights activist and environmentalist, like all rolled into one. He's really very similar, I think, to Madeline and me in our approach. We really feel that we have to include all those aspects. And we've known Mike for quite a few years now. I think we first met you through your creating the Veg Fest in Florida years ago. And Mike has been doing this in a dedicated way through thick and thin, right, even through COVID. He was out there with the sword of truth and the light of courage and just telling people, come on, don't huddle in your houses. Get out there and save some animals and get healthy, which was, we really, really appreciate that tremendously because those were some pretty dark times. And a lot of people succumbed to the fear, unfortunately, but it was great to find a fellow vegan activist that liked to keep everything going. So Mike has been involved with putting on many Veg Fests. I mean, every year he's been putting on the last few years. You know Mike, but I'd say it's at least a dozen. You did a huge amount.
Yeah. Probably 25 over the last 2 years alone.
Right. Yeah. So, as well as these sustainable eating.
Yeah, plants to table. You and Madeline.
Farm to table, right.
Yeah. Well, only plants, of course. So plants to table is what we call it.
Yeah, plants to table and educational opportunities. So, and then he's been involved with Ecuador. Maybe you can say a little bit, some communities there. And now his new baby is a healthy vegan cruise. And so that's coming up in January, as I understand, which is only a few months away, really. So it'll be leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. Mike, so please tell us a little bit about your upcoming cruise and then also about the anything else, really, what you've been up to. And then people can ask questions, of course, so feel free to do that.
All right.
But I think it's very inspiring to hear what you're up to. And I know you're working together with our good friend and colleague, Lisa Wong, who's from California, but now has moved to Florida. She went with us, as some of you know. We toured together from here to Florida last autumn, and Lisa decided it's so great in Florida, she's staying. Like many other people, are moving from California to Florida, too. And so Lisa is working together, I think, with Mike somewhat on this cruise and on vegan activities in general. And so we have been doing a lot with Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. And Mike is goes down. You're based in Virginia, but you go all over to Florida a lot, I know. So please, Mike, tell us a little bit about what you're up to. That'd be great.
All right. Well, I think I've been with you before about a year ago, actually, just talking about things. Some of you may know that we run a nonprofit called aplantbaseddiet.org. That's the name of the organization that I started in 2014 when I became vegan, at least went from vegetarian to vegan at that point in time. And it's really, from the beginning, been designed to be an educational, like basically free public education type of a thing. We saw the need for that. And to build community as well. And We're very thankful for Dr. Tuttle and Madeline because you both have been an inspiration for our work over the last number of years in Florida. And you've been to most of our events, I'd say, that we've done. And Florida, actually, even though I'm in Northern Virginia, we are actually based in Florida. Our organization is based there. We do most of our events in Florida, the in-person events. And it's been that way since 2014 when we founded it. And we've expanded more in that state, too. There's just been more of an awakening, I think, in that area. Like Dr. Tuttle, like you said during the meditation, and I know you talked about ongoing, you see that this information has to get out to people. They're going to wake up. There's going to be a rise of consciousness level. And we see that, you know, because one of the things you said is that we do these festivals, which are totally free for the public. And you have done an amazing job, Dr. Tuttle, of giving, you know, high level talks at these events and opening people's eyes and introducing them to things that they probably hadn't considered before, including even me and Denise. I mean, you've helped to guide us. So we're really thankful for that. One of the things that we've seen is, you know, we're a vegan or totally vegan organization at the very least. So like we've always viewed our Veg Fest as like an entry level event. And we've actually attempted, even listening to you and gaining knowledge from you, to raise the level of, like, let's say, the food at the events. And that's something that's been a big struggle. So I know I've talked to you and also to Lisa recently, and we're not sure if we're going to continue those festivals anymore, but we've got plenty of other work that's at a higher level, because we do see that the consciousness level of society, even as slow as it is rising. Because like if I go back to 2014, you know, nobody knew what vegan was, or if they did, they got a really negative connotation, or they surely hadn't tried any vegan food back then, you know. But nowadays, I say everybody has some form of plant-based eating as at least part of their diet, right? And you can get a lot of these foods at any grocery store, and the vegan ice creams, cheeses, milks, all these things, right? And in the local grocery store that weren't there back in 2014, or you could hardly even find them. So we're seeing that rise up, and because of that, we've developed over the years something we call healthy vegan food, which is like a minimum. It's not the end-all be-all. It's just like the minimum thing that we could consider healthy vegan. And if you want to learn what that is, you can go to healthyveganfood.info. It goes straight to our website. It tells you what that is. So we're hoping that we've reached a level where going forward, we can participate just in events where we're serving that level of food or greater. Because like at the festival, or not the festivals, at the Plants to Table events that you've actually helped to develop, Dr. Tuttle, because of your insistence on like organic, for instance. So all those events are healthy vegan food level, plus they're organic and they're gluten free. But the organic, I know, is probably the biggest jump up in those events. And we would like to see everything like that in the future. But right now we're just working with what we can. So here we have the cruise. Like you said, I guess it's a baby. It's new anyway. We were approached by somebody who's in our circles down in Florida who is a travel agent. And she said to me, you know, her name's Liz, and she said, well, why don't you do a cruise? Because she actually met us at our Indian buffet that we do once a year down in Fort Myers. It's all healthy vegan food or better at this event. And we had a line out the door. You know, so she was really impressed. She was like, oh, how do you get all these people coming out? And, you know, we only do it once a year, but the restaurant knows that it's a struggle for them to put it all together because they never prepare food that way. Unfortunately, that's just where the restaurants are. But they know that it's successful every year. And so she said, what can we do with a cruise? So I told her, I was like, well, we got to make the cruise at least that. So we asked for everything we could up front. We said, if I'm going to do a cruise event, because I'm not even a cruise person, okay? I'm a land person. I'll let you know. Okay. I was like, well, we got to have the newest ship because it has to have the most environmentally friendly features on it. And just like automobiles and other things, the newer it is in general, the more regulations it has to meet and the better it is for the environment. It's really the oldest vessels and the oldest vehicles that are the biggest polluters and the biggest problems, actually, if you look at it. I know there's exceptions to that, but in general, that's true. So I said, I want a new ship, and I also want to have at least all the healthy vegan food, and I want it fully organic as well. Well, she came back with two of the three, okay? She said she got one cruise line. It took months for us to do this. One cruise line finally agreed, because we were talking in December originally, and then we thought we were going to get it all solved in January, which didn't happen. It wasn't until April that we finally got somebody to agree. And like Dr. Tuttle said, it's going to be in January. So if you want to basically, either yourselves or others that you know want to have like a vacation, like I call it, you don't have to recover from that, kind of almost like a retreat or an immersion. That's how I would describe it in a way. Because there's never been anybody that's done an event like this to this caliber, I'd say. To this, I don't know, caliber is not a good word, but to this level of, higher level of consciousness, I'd say. How about that? That's better. So, it will be on January 7th to the 14th, right after the beginning of the year. So if you want to start a new pattern, because I know everybody struggles. Okay, I know this is an issue. This is kind of why we're moving away from the Veg Fest events, because there's so many temptations out there, right? Wherever you turn, we want to provide like more of a safe space, get around like-minded people. And I want the food to be as high a level as we can get through our organization, higher than it's ever really been on any event, because it is. Because basically what they agreed to is not only are they going to do our healthy vegan food, and as I was mentioning, the details are at healthyveganfood.info, if you want to know what that means. But also, we are going to have 3 fully raw meals, because there's 3 days at sea. So we'll probably end up, we don't finalize yet, we'll probably have lunch each of those 3 days at sea. It'll be fully raw, prepared type foods, if you all have ever had those. Those are pretty cool, because I know Dr. Tuttle mentioned Ecuador. I want to get into that, too. So Lisa Wong, as Dr. Tuttle mentioned, I know Lisa's out there. She's going to be one of our confirmed speakers on the cruise. So we're going to have the food, the ship. We're going to have speakers like Lisa from Center for Healing by Design. You probably already know that. That's her organization. And then we're also going to have Dr. Jim Loomis, who was in the Game Changers movie. He works with PCRM and the Bernard Medical Center. We have Karen Dugan, who runs the Center for Plant-Based Living in St. Louis, Missouri. And she actually started a new show with Dr. Loomis. They call it Doc and Chef, where he explains the science and she prepares the food. So they're going to be with us the whole week. And then there's also, Dr. Scott Harrington from Vegan Primary Care. He's based out of Florida, but he is also a medical doctor. So we want people to, the enlightened doctors that really recognize the value of this, to join us like that. And these doctors can be anyone's doctor, too. It's kind of funny, because if you don't know about Dr. Harrington from Vegan Primary Care, he's just a regular doctor. But he's fully enlightened. He knows about all the things, I say, that Dr. Tuttle speaks about. He also has, I know he talks about how his knowledge of True North Health Center there in California and the benefits of fasting. He knows all of the stuff. And he can still take insurance and be your regular doctor, which is amazing. This is the kind of paradigm that we want to shift into, right? So he's going to be on the cruise. And so it'll be like-minded people. It'll be all the knowledge. We'll have lectures. We'll have exercise stuff, because we think that's a component of lifestyle medicine. Anything that's kind of involved with lifestyle medicine is going to be involved with our trip. And also, my wife and I travel a lot. That's why Dr. Tuttle didn't know where we are. Because we seem to be traveling a lot, kind of like a digital nomad lifestyle, and kind of going where any of the events are, too. And I'd say one of the things I've noticed with traveling is if I go on somebody else's trip or if I go somewhere I'm not familiar with, one of the biggest problems I have is I can't find vegan food now, because vegan food I feel like is almost everywhere. But stuff that's really going to not hurt you, that's what's hard to find. That's why we designed this trip kind of a little bit of a selfish way for me, because I didn't want to have to get sick. I've gone on cruises, I've gone on vegan cruises, I've gone on other things. I still don't feel right when I get back. And I know it's because, for instance, one of our things is, or two of our things is, no added oil, no added salt to the food. So these things are not going to be found. I can tell you, those two things alone, they really get me. I'm just a very sensitive individual, not to say that I have anything wrong with me. I'm just more sensitive than the average person. It will affect me before it'll affect someone else. So I stop it way before the disease, the protective part of the body, right? Disease is really just a way of the body to protect itself. It's like, hey, stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. I can't even get to that point because my body won't let me. So we've designed this so that you're not going to have to feel bad when you come back. You're going to feel right internally, and you're not going to gain a bunch of weight or whatever else might happen on a cruise, which usually does happen, even on a vegan cruise, because I've been there. And so we're trying to raise the bar, raise the level. This is the way to encourage the future of travel is kind of what we call it, right? We would love to see all forms of travel have this kind of paradigm going forward, and we want to get organic. We don't have that yet, but we are confident that if this is successful, we could show the cruise line, especially the one that we have. Celebrity is the cruise line that has partnered with us, and it's the only one that would. Just keep this in mind. Liz talked to everybody. She's been in this business for a long, long time. She knows everybody. At first she thought this was going to be easy until I told her what the requirements were, and then she realized when she got into it how difficult it was. But we had a meeting this week, and Celebrity reiterated their desire to kind of be out front there and be where things are going. So we hope to introduce other things, too. There's so much I could talk about that I know we don't have time, But let me quickly, before I finish my little talk here, talk about Ecuador, too. Talk about other things that we're involved in. Because what's going on in Ecuador is that we are involved with totally vegan communities down there in Ecuador, right near the equator, within 3 degrees of the equator in southeast Ecuador in the Amazon rainforest area. And these areas are kind of like a vision of maybe the future of Earth, we hope anyway. Because like Dr. Tuttle, you were talking about local food, getting your food local, okay? Well, if you're going to get your food local all year round, you're either going to grow it indoors, and that's okay. I mean, we support indoor growing, but we don't necessarily think it's the same as the actual sun growing those plants and natural rainwater, okay, that's hopefully not polluted. And soils that are living, you know, outdoors with all the entire environment surrounding it. So indoors is good when you can't do anything else, but outdoors is probably the best, right? And so we want to be able to, people out in Ecuador want to be able to grow their food all year round outdoors. They want to grow it veganically like you're talking about. They want to grow it totally organic and chemical free as well. Totally chemical free, which is better than an organic. And they also want to be zero waste communities. So they're vegan, they're zero waste, they have all these things. And they're also in a climate where you don't even need to condition your house because it's about the same temperature all year round. And every day it's 12 hours of sunlight every day, and it's raining on a regular basis because you're in the rainforest region, which is on the east side of Ecuador. So it's got all these things going for it. Oh, and it's very, very affordable, too. That's the other thing I can tell you. We built a house down there. We have a couple pieces of land. We're working actively with the communities. I'm constantly talking with people down there. We're having regular weekly meetings. There's two communities. One's called Terra Frutis. One's called Fruit Haven. And if you go to our website, aplantbaseddiet.org, and look at intentional communities and eco-villages, there's a tab there. You can see all about it. We just finished our house that we call La Casa Más Alta. It's the highest house elevation-wise in Terra Frutis. And we designed it for, I think, the average Joe or Jane to experience this. And it's actually on Airbnb right now. So you can go at Airbnb. It's like $35 a night. It's a brand new house. And it looks amazing, I think, especially for $35 a night. I mean, you can't get anything for that price anymore on Airbnb. So it's just that it's so affordable, and we want people to make a vacation and go into the Terra Frutis community and experience the community, right? And so that's why we put this together, and we have more, hopefully, that we'll be doing with those communities going forward. But those are, like, I'd say at the highest level, okay? It's going to be a long time until we can get folks to move over and accept this and realize that this hopefully really is the future, but at least we're there and we're doing it. And we have a small group of dedicated people that are there, that are from around the world, that are living this lifestyle. And let me tell you, it's not like it's problem free. All right. I will say that there are many challenges. There are constant challenges in running these communities, but if it really is the future and it really is how we're supposed to be living, then we need to embrace these challenges and, you know, don't look at them as problems, but opportunities. And you know, so we feel like we're doing good work. And all of this, by the way, we're telling, this thing I'm telling you about today, we're telling people about this at all our events. So wherever someone's meeting us, and even on the online communities we have, we're telling them about it. And, of course, it's on Airbnb now. It's on another site called The Vegan Stay, which is only for vegan places. So people see it now on these apps when they're traveling. And I can say more, too, but let me open up for questions. I know you said I saw some things come through the chat. So if any of you have any questions for me or would like me to elaborate on anything else, please just let me know.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Mike. That's very interesting indeed. And there's two different things. Plus the whole veg fest, but looking at the cruise, I just have a quick question. Is it a 7-day, like you go on Sunday afternoon and you get back the following Sunday morning, something like that?
Something like, yeah, it's about, that's about.
And where does
right.
It go? It goes out of Fort Lauderdale. Where do you go?
It's down into the Caribbean. So we also kind of designed this to be in the coldest part of the year because we want people to get maximum benefit, right, if they're going to go to Florida because it's open to anybody. And, into the Caribbean. And, by the way, the details are at healthoptimizationcruise.org. That just takes you to a page on our website. You could also find it by going to our nonprofit site.
Great. Okay. Yeah, that's does anyone have a question for Mike? Any other? I mean, there's lots of different things. I mean, the whole idea of creating a community and living on land and growing your own food in Ecuador, I think that's got a lot of positive things for sure. But does anyone have any other any questions about that or about anything for Mike that he's been bringing up? Happy.
Yeah, and also mentioning that, you know, Ecuador, the thing about Ecuador is it's so inexpensive, like I was saying. It's amazing because the world has so many problems, right? And I think one of the things that we hear all the time is how expensive life is now. Well, you know, you've got this massive dose of inflation and everything else, but it didn't really happen so much down there. And it's amazing how little people actually need to live.
So you mean like for just like a quarter of what people spend here, maybe something like that, or?
Yes, I'd say most things are at least half or less. Mm. You know, for equivalent, let's say, because like, you know, we built our house. It's a tiny house, like Casa Matanza. It's like 500 square feet, but it doesn't need to have HVAC ever. Right? So that's a giant cost savings right up front, and we pass that along to everyone else. Nobody's house has anything like that.
Right.
It's not needed because, you know, it's close to the equator, but they're at elevation, right? So they're not too high, because if you got higher in elevation, you would get really cold nights. You wouldn't be able to grow tropical fruits, for instance. So they're at like 2,500 to 3,000 feet above sea level. It's just at the right height for all that.
Hmm. Nice. Great. Great climate. Wow.
Yes. Yes. Okay, and then for the cruise, Lisa's going to be there, and I mentioned the other doctors, and Karen, who's going to be there. We are going to be adding more things as time goes on, because we're just really developing the entire program right now. And we do need people to sign up, though, by September. I will tell you that. So, and as we heard from Celebrity, because this is a brand new ship, people go out of their way to book rooms on it, even if they're not with us, because we're not going to get the whole ship. We're only going to have maybe 100 passengers, and the rest of the ship, you know, be several thousand other people. So we may not have any availability anyway up to that point. So I encourage people to, you know, they can message me, they can go to healthoptimizationcruise.org, find out details and connect with me that way through the website. And then Liz too. Liz is our travel agent. She and I talk all the time. We're constantly, there's so much work to develop a new event, you know, but we're, like I said, we think it's not just this event. We do think it's the future of travel. We've got to let people know that there's a demand for this level of food or greater. I mean, they know that they didn't give me everything we wanted and they're going to be hearing from me. And actually one of the things that we're also working on is alcohol alternatives and just not, you know, no alcohol, because alcohol is not considered healthy by our standard. So we're working on some things now. They're still in development as well on that, and that will be part of this. It's something also Celebrity has never done before, because they've offered before like mocktails and things, but they haven't done anything different than that. So we're always exploring different things to bridge the gap between like where people are and where we need to go. And that's also why I felt like even though we wouldn't necessarily pick out a cruise ourselves, that's a great place to meet people because they're out on vacation, right? I mean, they're going to be there anyway. Why don't we show this cruise line that there really is a demand for this level of vegan food, as long as we can get it approved, which we did. So
that's great. Yeah, I know it's a really wonderful opportunity to learn and to relax. We've been on some vegan cruises, and when you get off the ship in the Cayman Islands or Cozumel or, you know, these places, in Honduras, wherever it is, and you have the whole day on these beautiful tropical beaches, and then you can also talk to people about veganism and help people. You know, a lot of people go vegan. A lot of people bring their friends and significant others who are not vegan on these cruises, and it's a really it's like a good pressure cooker. People really learn a lot, and the food, if you have good food, good quality food, and they feel really healthy and better, and they're having a chance to learn and also to really enjoy the world and see another part of the world that they never would have seen. And you get to see other cultures too. I mean, we really, on our cruises, we saw so many other cultures actually when you go and spend some time in Colombia or different places. So, yeah, I think it's very exciting. I hope that you are able to get the people to sign up and get this thing really happening. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, it's happening no matter what, for sure. Anytime we get an opportunity like this, we're going to take it, you know, because we have to if we really believe this is the future. And one of the things you just brought up about, you know, maybe having someone who's not quite into this lifestyle, because there's a lot of people that we've already talked to that have, like, a significant other or a spouse who really isn't into this. Maybe one of them is and one of them isn't. Well, this, as much as we don't endorse it, it is possible to bring both, because the other person could still get whatever food they want to get. They could still sit in our lectures as long as they sign up with us. And, you know, they could make it a great learning experience or maybe a transition, because that's what we're really doing, right? We're trying to transition everybody. It's a journey. It's an evolution. And we're just happy to be part of that and have, you know, new opportunities like this. And who knows what we'll have next year, too. I mean, it's always something new.
Right, right. Great. All right. Well, it's fantastic to see the new idea, you know, happening with high quality food. And I think at this point, you know, we have quite a few other things we want to talk about on our call today. If there aren't any other questions, we have people that'll be listening. A lot of people listen later, so we have in the chat. We have the link. Lisa put that up, and we have, I'll send it out too. I mean, I'll send out a link to everybody who's in our Real Peace Diet circle, you know, so they know how to find out more and tell their friends. And I think it's really about networking, and like anything, you know, it's the idea is that we're here to learn and to share ideas and to help raise the awareness. And these cruises, for the most part, really. The food is, you know, usually, like you say, is just more addictive junk food. So you're really pushing against the whole
yeah.
momentum to bring that kind of food and educating. You know, you're educating the chefs, the cooks, and educating the people,
yeah.
And you know that's important too. So
mm-hmm.
we have to get there eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a struggle. That's for sure. It's a lot of work, but we don't mind doing it. Like I said, we're just thankful for the opportunities. That's it.
Right. Right. Great. All right,
yeah,
Mike.
So if I want to, just have a few words to acknowledge Mike for all he does. Mike and Denise work so hard to put together the Veg Fest when we were in Florida. And now the cruise, it's a really historic, nothing ever been done before, like the level that Mike is doing. And also, if you know of anybody who likes to be a speaker and influencer, we would love more people to join us, right, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. We want to make it as big as possible, so thank you for bringing that up.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. You're so right. I just say that, you know, we really experienced Mike and Denise. They live in a car, a Tesla car. They tow a trailer.
I'm like, all the time.
That has this trailer has a gigantic screen on, you know, that he can set up a video screen, so everyone who's giving a lecture can have a gigantic PowerPoint with a sound system. And then there's vendors who are selling vegan food and vegan products, and he makes these happen in Fort Myers and Bonita and all over Gainesville, Ocala, up in a bunch
Naples,
of different places.
Sarasota,
up in Naples, yeah, Sarasota,
Punta Gorda,
right, Punta Gorda. I know all these, and it really changes a lot of people's lives. You know, they come and they learn and they grow and they buy things and they. So it's you know, just planting those seeds, and doing it really with this attitude of giving. You know, I really appreciate that. It's like this is a gift. We do our best to create a space and then let the people fill in that space and let the people take it and run with it. So I think it's a great service and a good example. So many people come to me actually and say, well, I want to help the movement. You know, what can I do? What can I do? And a lot of it has to do with what Mike is talking about, just making a leap. You know? Just jump in and try something and see what works, you know.
Dr. Tuttle, there's so many forms. I know you know this, but I just want to reiterate, too, that we recognize it, too. Like, farming is a form of activism, right, if you're doing it right.
Absolutely.
Animal rights. I mean, we work, you know, Shannon Blair and Vegan Evan. We were just over there in Colorado because they run animal activism mentorship. So we support that too. Like we want to support everyone everywhere we can. But I guess truly our focus is on ultimately taking care of your health because we view that as sustainable, right? I mean, if your health is not good and you're vegan, that's not sustainable. So that's what we're really trying to get ourselves. But at the same time, supporting everyone else in the vegan movement, including yourself and Madeline. I appreciate the kind words. But again, we're just more thankful to be a part of it because we do see it as a future. We do see it as enlightening people. Most people just don't understand, right? I mean, I know you know that. I kind of almost preach to the choir, but that's why we feel that it's a great opportunity for us. You know, just because all of our work is volunteer for us, but we're happy to do it.
Thank you. That's beautiful. All right. Well, you'll get your reward in heaven and here too. All right. Thanks so much, Mike, and we'll definitely stay in touch about the possibilities.
Yes.
For sure. About everything. Yeah. Good. All right. Well. Feel free to stay on the call if you want, but otherwise we're going to go on to some other things here. So thanks again, Lisa, for helping to arrange all this with Mike. And it's really great to be able to learn about this and talk to Mike about these things. So I wanted to let you know also that Madeline is right next to me here. Here she is.
Yes. Hello.
And,
hi, Mike.
So she wanted to talk a little bit about mud water, which is something that I think is fantastic. So not only as a drink, but as a sort of way of being,
a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So. It's really good, and it's also if one is kind of addicted to coffee, it could be an alternative because it has different mushroom powders. It has cacao in there. The self-made oat milk for us, but you can get any kind of plant milk, and then a little turmeric and maybe whatever you like to put in there, a little pepper, a tiny little salt, and we have a video, so you can actually go online and see Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen and see how it goes and follow that direction. It's really, it's very satisfying. It's not just a cacao milk drink or a golden milk. These mushrooms are so potent. There is different mushrooms. You can choose whatever. They have also already mixes. And I explained to get the real mushroom powder and not the mycelium, which is a lot of grains with mold. So it's really a learning curve in there. And we do it now for about a year. And you will see the change in your life. These mushrooms are little magicians. And they really do their work. I can tell you that. And
so it's these are the like seven sacred mushrooms, like shiitake, maitake,
reishi,
chaga, cordyceps, lion's mane, turkey tail,
tremola,
and tremola.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the seven. And
you can have five,
whatever you
of
want,
five, of seven, or of eight.
It's a powder, and then either with carob or cacao.
Yeah, if you don't like cacao, which is too bad because it's lots of magnesium, calcium. It has
antioxidant.
Mm. It's really, really good to take it. But if you don't like to take it, you can do the whole thing with carob, which tastes really good too. So yeah.
And you usually have a few soaked dates.
Yes. I show this on the video. I always have soaked dates in the fridge. And then I mix this all up and make it nice and fluffy with a little foam on top. And it's really absolutely delicious. Will can't wait in the evening when I bring it. And you sleep like a baby and wake up like really energized. And you don't have, with time you feel that you don't have any cravings. If you eat the good vegan food, organic and from scratch, whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
and then integrate this, it's really, you don't crave anything. People kind of graze the whole day with all kinds of things. And
well, what you mean is, I think, is that a lot of people are not getting maybe all the nutrients
yes.
that they need, and so they're craving foods.
And are addicted to little sugary things, or little salty things, always like a ping pong, you know, salt, sugar. And getting away from all that is really a great thing. So I like just sharing this. So I'm finished.
Thanks, dear.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
All right.
See you again.
Thanks, Madeline. Yeah, that's the whole idea is not only it's mud water, but it's kind of like it's like the revolution. You know, the whole idea is whole organic plant-based foods. If you do it right, it's delicious, and it creates an amazing foundation for radiant health. And our movement is under attack. We have to really understand that. The vegan movement is under attack by the globalists who hate veganism. I mean, veganism and spirituality are the two powers that bring freedom and sustainability and peace and justice and equality onto our earth. And spirituality is being attacked in many ways by materialism, by animal agriculture, by turning animals into objects to be used. And so veganism has been traditionally, I mean, when I first got into veganism in the early days, it was really not only about, it was about animal rights, but it was also really about being healthy and environmentally sustainable. And that has been chipped away. Now it's not about environmental sustainability. It's only about climate change. They strip away and don't talk about the fact that, you know, animal agriculture is cutting down, you know, destroying rainforests and soil, and causing dead zones in the ocean and soil erosion and so many other things. It's all just climate change. Which is a fraud. Greenhouse gases are not a problem. And so that whole thing, I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it one more time, is that what animal agriculture is taking away the ability of animals to go anywhere, right? That's what slavery is you take away the ability of cows and pigs and chickens to move. You confine them. What's climate change narrative all about? It's about confining you. You can't go anywhere. You have to only go 15 minutes away. That's slavery. And it's getting us to want to be slaves. Say, well, we want to be slaves. We want to just not be able to go anywhere because of climate change. I was so glad to see yesterday a Nobel laureate, a very highly esteemed physicist, came out publicly and said the whole climate change narrative is a scam. It's a fraud. It's pseudoscience. There's no science to it at all. There's none. There's no science. It's complete. It's like COVID. I mean, it's a total scam. They just want to enslave people and use fear. And so all you hear about is over and over again on the mainstream media is climate change. Go, and so now all the vegans are going vegan for the climate. No, don't. and then instead of vegan, it's now plant-based, which is these foods that are being promoted by Bill Gates, the same people that are promoting climate change and big pharma, which is about enslaving animals, torturing animals, and killing forests and people, are now telling everyone we should be eating lab-grown meat, and we should be eating genetically engineered plant-based foods that are unhealthy. And so a lot of vegans are like buying into it and are eating this stuff, and they're not healthy. And when you have unhealthy vegans, that destroys the movement, because then they say, well, I tried being vegan, it didn't work. And then other people say, well, you're vegans, you don't look healthy. Or they say, you vegans, you're all brainwashed by Bill Gates, and you're all going along with being vaccinated and getting drugged and eating junk food. I mean, it makes our whole movement a laughing stock. Instead of being a powerful force to confront, not only confront the tyranny of animal abuse and of humans being subjected, but to create a really viable, vibrant alternative that works, right? That's what the beautiful thing about veganism is. We're not just criticizing a system of corruption. I mean, anybody can do that. But we have an alternative that's fantastic. We can grow whole, healthy, plant-based foods, decentralize the way we're living, minimize our footprint, not our carbon footprint, our environmental footprint. Minimize our environmental footprint. That's a good thing. You know, reduce the amount of resources we're using. I mean, when I was a Zen Buddhist monk, that's a very important teaching for thousands of years. The monks would get one robe, and then you have to keep mending it. You can't just go out and buy another one. And it's called the patchwork robe, and the robe is patched up. It's full of, you know, the more patches, the better, right? The whole idea is to respect nature. Respect resources, respect water, respect land, respect animals. Don't waste things. Animal agriculture is about wasting everything. And now we have these globalists flying around in their jets, private jets, telling everybody that we can't waste, you're wasting too much. Right? I mean, the hypocrisy is stunning. But the whole idea is veganism is this beautiful teaching, and it's completely connected to spirituality. And because spirituality is understanding that we're all interconnected, that there's one life that lives through us, and when we bless others, that's the way we bless ourselves. If we're self-centered, if I just want to get something for myself, that creates hell on earth. If everybody only cared about themselves, can you imagine? That's hell. That's really what it is. And that's why these animals are suffering so much. It's because we're not caring about them. We're not following the golden rule, which is to don't do others, you know what it is. So the whole idea is spirituality, authentic spirituality, is seeing with eyes of kindness and empathy others, animals and each other, and the whole globalist vision is the opposite of that. And it's infiltrating our movement so much with money. I mean, money is how you do it. These so-called philanthropists, it's called predatory philanthropy, and they give money with strings attached. I remember watching it happen a few years ago when you had, I won't mention, it was Mercy for Animals and it was Humane Society. They both, especially the Mercy for Animals, were very specific that we should go vegan and not buy any eggs, right? I mean, that was like eggs are cause suffering. And then each one of them got $1 million. Open Philanthropy, from Open Philanthropy Project, which is George Soros. And they said, we'll give you $1 million, but you have to use it to promote cage-free eggs. So they changed their tune. They didn't say go vegan. They said, well, you know, we should all work for cage-free eggs. Which is a complete scam, because if you go to these cage-free operations, these poor hens are stuck in these stinking sheds where they never get outside, and they're picking each other's eyes out. They have to de-beak them. I mean, it's horrible. They kill all the males. It's completely ridiculous. Going vegan, you stop the suffering. Going cage-free, you don't stop any suffering. You continue the whole thing, but you got $1 million, so, you know. So that's what's happening so much. And not only that, but the people aren't doing the spiritual work. They're not meditating enough, I don't think, personally. I mean, we should really understand that there is a very sophisticated information war that's being waged against us, the people, by the globalist plutocrats that are running everything, who want to destroy veganism, who want to destroy, who want to turn us into livestock. Like what we do to cows and pigs and chickens, that's what they, that's their vision for humanity. And the only thing in their way, really, is veganism in the sense of respect for all life and spirituality, which is understanding that we're here to love and bless each other. That's all that's standing in their way, is people, authentic spiritual people who care for animals and ecosystems and each other, which is veganism. And so they're eroding that continually. And if we have people in the vegan movement who are, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of a, this gullible, like believing the media, believing the television, and kind of buying into that, then our whole movement gets dragged down, unfortunately. And so one of the things I noticed, I wanted to talk a little bit about here for a few minutes, that I just kind of figured out, and see what you think, if you think this is something interesting, is, you know, we went to the film. I haven't been to a movie theater in 20 years probably, but we went to the movie theater a couple of days ago to see this new film, which is called The Sound of Freedom. And it was so interesting because we live out in Lake County, and I checked, you know, like a 2 weeks before, and it wasn't showing here. It was, we had to drive all the way to Santa Rosa, and I thought, well, the heck with it, I'm not going to go there. And then I saw an interview with Tony Robbins, who I think is really a pretty cool guy. And Tony Robbins was saying, he's a backer of this movie, The Sound of Freedom, which is about child trafficking mainly, and how that's happening so much. And so there were so many people that wanted to see this film, even though it was being denigrated and repressed and ignored by the mainstream media. Why is that? Why don't they want anyone to know about child trafficking? Why is the mainstream media so opposed to us caring about vulnerable beings like animals and children? Why do they hate that? Why do they hate us to even be aware of it? I mean, like, that's so interesting. So, but in spite of that, people were going, and it grossed over $40 million in the first week, which is like a record. And I checked, because Tony Robbins said, check and see where it's playing. And all of a sudden, I said, it's playing right here in Lake County even. I thought, all right, we can just drive. It's not far away. So we went to the film, and it's a very easy, I highly recommend watching it. I mean, it's very informative, and it's easy to watch. It's not like, there's no terrible things that happen to the children. It's really entry level, easy to watch kind of a film. And inspiring, actually, and kind of, it's long. It's like, I think it's 2.5 hours, and it flies by very quickly. But anyway, it's and you kind of develop a feeling in the theater too, like everybody's cheering at the end, you know. But I think the whole idea, from my point of view, is when I saw the film, part of it is, I think I might have mentioned this last time, that I'm going to be working with Claire Mann and Armighty May and a few other people who are vegan activists to try to do a series of videos that show how animal agriculture and the abuse of animals and the abuse of children are interconnected. And one of the things that I noticed that Jim, whatever his name is, Jim Cavaziel, I think his name is, he has the lead in this, he's a Hollywood actor, and he started talking a little bit about adrenochrome. And so I started thinking about this adrenochrome connection, because I think it's very interesting. And so what it is, as I understand it, and again, it's very interesting to me that journalists and government agencies are repressing any discussion of adrenochrome, or adrenochrome, however you want to say it. And what is this adrenochrome, actually? It's very interesting. What it is, essentially, is a substance that's secreted by our bodies, by mammals, I think, or maybe, I'm not sure if birds are, I'm going to look into it, but basically, for example, if a gazelle is being chased by a lion, then the gazelle and the lion, both, probably both of them, but especially the gazelle, is secreting adrenaline, right? Adrenaline, we all know about adrenaline. Adrenaline is secreted by the adrenal glands, and it makes us stronger and faster. And so, you know, so it comes about because of stress. So as the gazelle is being chased by the lion, it's putting out all this adrenaline to try to escape from the lion. But if the lion is successful and actually starts to eat the the gazelle, right? The claws go in, the teeth go in, and now suddenly the stress is not just stress, now it's pain and stress. So now it's basically severe anxiety, basically. What that does, that anxiety oxidizes the adrenaline into adrenochrome. So it's the same thing. So adrenochrome is just oxidized adrenaline. And it happens when that terror becomes, pain meets the terror, basically. And so when that happens, then adrenochrome comes out. So what is this adrenochrome? It's very interesting. And you look into it, it's like this shady thing is covered up. It's so telling to me that when the fact check organizations say, oh, there isn't any truth to anybody ever taking adrenochrome. Well, really? Then why is there such an effort to cover it up all the time? It's so interesting. But it's pretty easy to find things. And basically, it's very expensive because it comes from children. And that's the thing that he's talking about, that children, you know, I won't even talk, it's terrible, but, you know, like what you do to the children is the same thing that, you know, you first terrify them and then you torture them, right? You got to do something to make the pain, and then they start secreting adrenochrome. And this adrenochrome, I guess they get it either in the blood or from the actual glands themselves and on these children. And then it's sold as a drug, and it's very, very expensive. But apparently, according to what the people say about it, is it does two things. It gives a high, like an amazing high, but also, like unlike most drugs that only give you a high, and then tear your body apart basically, and you see the typical drug addicts, they're unhealthy. It actually makes you vivacious and healthier than ever, right? It's like this thing. And so it's very interesting to me. So this adrenochrome has become a status thing, or maybe it's been used for hundreds of years. It's been known about, but now it's apparently being taken by people who are very wealthy and powerful. And so there's different levels of this. See, this is the thing to understand, but what do we do to animals? One of the things that's so interesting to me is that if you think about it, like a cow or a pig or any animal entering into a slaughterhouse, they're stressed. So they're kicking out adrenaline already. And then when the knife hits them or the stun gun hits them, suddenly their body gets slammed and cut. Then the adrenaline switches over to adrenochrome. And so everybody's, when they eat a burger or bacon or ham or anything, it's adrenochrome. They're getting adrenochrome, which is this drug that gives a high and gives something a quick, and creates some kind of a rush, in a sense. And it's very interesting that we do this millions of times every day to these poor children. And these are all animals that are children in human terms, right? They're only 3 or 4 months old, maybe 6 months old, or maybe 9 months old. They're just little babies that we kill and we torture and kill them. And so in a way, our whole society is addicted to adrenochrome, in a way, if you're eating animal flesh. And I remember when I was working with South Korean vegan activists, they took video, actually, because in South Korea, men would go to the markets and buy dogs. They'd buy a dog. And then they would bring the dog back to the house, and then they would kill the dog, and they would eat the dog meat. And it was considered to be something that would give them a lot of energy, the dog meat. But the videos, it's terrible to watch, but the videos that they took undercover were of how the men would not just kill the dog in some kind of an easy way. They would literally torture them to death, so they would die a very slow, painful death. Because what they said was, they knew, they figured this out, they discovered this over the generations, that if you did that, then when you ate the meat, you had this tremendous vitality, you know, this like, whoa. And they said it was yang energy, that when you torture them, it gives you, and I realized it's not yang energy, it's adrenochrome. You know, you do that, you really torture them that much, they're going to put out more adrenochrome. So they've known about that for hundreds of years, like when they kill dogs, to do it that way, so they get it. But this whole idea, I think, it's very interesting because it kind of shows something that I think most people are not aware of, that the torturing of and killing of animals has been part of satanic rituals, you know, for hundreds of years. It's a satanic thing. It's in satanic rituals. I remember this woman after a retreat told me that, you know, she wasn't a vegan, but she said, "You helped me to go vegan." And she had repressed memories of herself as a little girl being raised in a satanic cult in New Orleans, that one of the things that they did as a little, she had to do as a little girl, was kill animals. They had to kill these animals, and then they forced them to eat the raw flesh of these animals. That was part of the satanic ritual. And she said it always made her feel horrible, like she was ashamed of herself. She felt ugly and couldn't respect herself. And she said, "Now I'm going to go vegan, and I'm so glad that I see that there's a way out of this." But you think about it. When she said that, I thought, well, that's not that different from me. And in a way, I was raised in a satanic cult too. I had to eat my father's barbecue. You know, they kill the animals. I have to eat it as a little kid. I had to eat the flesh of the animals. Like, our whole entire society is a satanic cult. Everybody's eating these tortured animals like they do in a satanic cult. And it does, it just erodes our self-respect. It erodes our sense of being benevolent beings in a beautiful world. Now we're eating death and violence and misery. And then when you link that up with what's happening to children, and what we know is happening to children, and how we're doing the same thing, what we do millions of times every day to animal children, we're doing now, I don't know how many times a day, hundreds or thousands of times every day to human children for the same thing, you know, for adrenochrome, and how it's being actually encouraged by the globalist plutocrats, right? I mean, think about, they're engineering all these wars, like the war in Ukraine. I mean, that's coming out in Ukraine. There are these places in Ukraine where we do to children what we do to animals. Like they harvest their organs, like we do to animals. We harvest the organs of animals. That's routine. Now they're harvesting the organs of children. They're taking the blood of children. This is routine now too. That's really routine. That's actually not black market. That's actually there's people who, you can buy the blood of young people and get a transfusion, and it makes you live longer. Right? I mean, that's considered, just people that do that. And they do it. Hospitals do it. They like say, sure. You know, you can actually do that. But they take it to another level. You know, on the black market, they concentrate the blood with the adrenochrome. All these things, like creating wars, because when you create wars, you have all these kids that the parents are dead, and they're orphans. So you got all these kids that have no protection now. When you have wars and conflicts and disasters that they create, and then. So they do that, and then they take away the border, make the border really lax, right? You can come and go through the border, no problem. Yeah, what's that good for? That's good for trafficking. And then they cover it all up, and they make the profits so high for the traffickers, so the traffickers are always looking for kids because they can make so much money, and there's no risk because the corruption is everywhere, and the police are paid off because it's coming from the top down. And the media is not, and the media, anyone who, any journalists who try to report it, or even this movie, which has nothing in it, basically, it's just a very, very basic movie. Even that, they don't want anyone to go watch that. It's amazing. The Guardian, like 5 years ago, had an article that there's trafficking in Cartagena, in Colombia, which is where this film takes place, a lot of it. And then when the movie came out and it's talking about trafficking in Cartagena, the Guardian said, it's a stupid movie. It's just for right-wing people. You know, only QAnon people care about such things, you know. I mean, so there, any journalists or any whistleblowers who try to say something about this, it gets repressed. I mean, so interesting. So all these, this whole thing is moving forward. And to me, it seems like we as vegans are called to protect the vulnerable. That's the whole idea, right? To protect beings who are vulnerable. I mean, who's more vulnerable than animals and children? And they're the ones getting most attacked. And when children are attacked, especially, you know, they can be wounded for life. And then when they grow up, they end up doing terrible things because that happened to them, right? I mean, that's the thing. People who are tortured as children very often end up becoming the same themselves when they get older. So, so I think, you know, all in all, the whole idea here, for me anyway, is to see how, as we sow in our treatment of animals, it always boomerangs back to us in the way we treat ourselves. And if we don't get to the root of this and connect with how we're doing this and stop doing it to animals, like all these people who are trying to save the children now, they're still eating meat. They're still going and buying chicken or whatever it is, bacon, and eating adrenochrome themselves. Or they go try to fight against trafficking of adrenochrome, right? I mean, that's what's happening. You know, people don't make that connection. So I'm putting this in my new book. I'm just finishing. I just actually today, I finished writing the book. I'm done writing. You know, it's like, it's been, you know, 2 years of continually writing and rewriting and writing and rewriting, but now I'm like done. So now I'm just doing the resources section, and then I'm going to do one final edit, and then I'm going to send it off to the publisher. So, but I just put that in today, that adrenochrome thing, I put that in today because yesterday and today, because it just hit me like, whoa, this is a big thing. I mean, why is everybody covering up adrenochrome, and how rampant it is? And these are tortured animals that people are eating. Maybe that's the only reason that people are able to survive as long as they do eating meat. You know, it's because it's so toxic and it's so hard to digest, but the adrenochrome kind of gets them through it. Maybe, I mean, it's a very bizarre thing. It's like an addiction of some kind. These foods are really not healthy, and there's such a pushback, you know, by everybody. I just saw this article last few days that all these doctors are coming out saying, "Oh, veganism is dangerous. We need to have animal foods to be really healthy," and you know, they're really pushing that hard now, which I'm not surprised. Of course, that's always the way it's been, but. That's all the more reason for us to be really healthy as vegans, and like Mike says, you know, to raise the bar on what it is to actually be a vegan. It's eating whole, healthy, organic, plant-based foods, and doing it in a way where we're minimizing our environmental footprint, grow as much as we can locally, get it from people we know who they are, and try to create communities of sanity, of kindness, of caring. And, you know, we're just here on this earth for a few decades. It goes by quickly. So for the few years we're here, to do the best we can to do that, because we're all going to get to that point where we leave our body. And that's just around the corner, really, quite honestly. It goes by quickly. So to just to use every possibility that we have to help embody this message and share it, and in our own unique way. You know, I know we all have our unique way, but I really appreciate all of you, because I know everyone who's on this call, you are doing that, and you're talking to people, and all the people who are going to be listening to the recording also. So that's my main message, is to just keep the original vegan spirit alive. It's ahimsa, you know, that deep spirit of nonviolence, and questioning the official narratives, and defending the sovereignty of individual beings, including ourselves, and keeping free speech and free assembly and free religion and free press and all these alive. The Constitution is so important. Those are the things that are getting attacked, and very often by people who make it look like it's so loving to take away our free speech, and so loving to take away our ability to travel, and we care so much, so we're going to take away our bodily autonomy. I mean, they make it sound like it's so loving and good and kind and caring to just be a good little slave. I mean, that's really, it's really coming to that. So it's important for us to just see through that delusion. And that's the other thing that really hit me as I've been writing the book lately, you know, is ethics. You know, you maybe saw, I hope you read my new article on the seven deadly sins and the seven heavenly virtues. It's on our website, ropeysite.com. But I just basically talk about how the seven deadly sins, especially, you know, we had pride, you know, pride month, pride week, pride everything. Pride is the first of the deadly sins. Why are we celebrating pride? Why are we celebrating greed? Why are we celebrating sloth? I mean, all seven of these, we could have a whole month for each one, because they're all celebrated in our society. They're all considered virtues. Gluttony is a big one, right? That's one of the seven deadly sins. It's considered, lust is another one. You know, all these things are used to sell products and turn beings into objects to be consumed. And we go along with it. We don't see it. But another thing that's similar, but it's related in some ways to that, is deception. You know, deception is a very harmful thing, because when we're deceived, we don't know we've been harmed very often. You know, like if I'm robbed or attacked or mugged or stolen from or whatever, it's like I know I've been hurt. But you can deceive people, and they have no idea that what they're losing and how much they're losing, and how they're being harmed, because they don't understand it. They don't get it. And what I realized, though, is that not only is deceit, you know, so in all world cultures, there's five primary taboos: killing, stealing, lying, sexual misconduct, and drug use, and forcing drugs onto people. Those are universal. So lying is a universal, seen as bad behavior, right? But I have to say that another one should be included in there as bad behavior, and that is being deceived. Being deceived is also unethical, and that's a big problem, you know, because, you know, Machiavelli said, as long as there are people who are trying to deceive, there will always be people who want to be deceived, who are willingly deceived, who go along with being deceived. Going along and being deceived, that is something we have to fight against in ourselves. I mean, we have to, like, not allow that. That's not okay. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm a victim. He deceived me. It was not my fault. Well, you know, it's your fault. I mean, I've been deceived. I have. I've been deceived. So I don't blame the person that deceived me. It was my own fault. I should have been more aware. I think that's one of our capacities as manifestations of consciousness, is the ability to recognize truth and the ability to see through deception. So we are called to rise to a higher level, to raise the bar, basically, and not be deceived. Like the Who, remember the Who? We won't get fooled again. You know, that's, you don't get fooled again, really, because we keep getting fooled over and over again. And they're doing it. Oh, it's time to stop here. I just realized. Well, anyway, I did a little mini rant there, but I want to thank all of you. Does anyone have any comments or questions on that before we should wrap it up? Madeline made rushti. Do you know what rushti is? So yeah, I have to go. Rushti is like the national food of Switzerland. It's kind of like hash browns, but it's not really hash. But it's like hash browns. You know, potatoes that you're. Yum, yum, yum. So anyway, so we're going to be having that. But does anyone have any final comments or questions? I really want to recommend, please, everyone, to look at our resources for July. There's a lot there. I go through every month and put down what I think are the most important news stories for animals and for truth and for freedom, and it's a great resource you can use for learning more about what's happening in our world. And so that's on our private site, as you all know where that is. And they're all up there. All the archives are up there. So please check that out. And I won't go into any more of those things. There's so much happening. There's a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of challenges that we have. But the big thing, I think the most important thing, is that don't be afraid. This is our life. What we are can never be killed. What we are is infinite and eternal consciousness. So we can come from that space and shine our light without fear. And the more we do that, the more we encourage others to do the same thing. So I know you're all doing that, and I really appreciate it deeply. And doing the inner work to help remember the truth, because they're always trying to shrink us down to a lower vibration. And the more we raise our vibration, they can never do that. So that's a key thing. So let's go ahead and have our closing prayer together. You all know what that is. And take off, and you can unmute your microphones. And we can say this together. It's the prayer that we have for the Circle of Compassion. Let's say it together three times. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Beautiful. Again. Compassion encircles the earth. For all beings everywhere. Beautiful. Yeah. One more time with feeling. Compassion encircles earth for all beings everywhere. Thank you so much, everyone. Much love to you all. Yeah. And we send our love from here. And we'll see you on the first Thursday for the meditation and the third Thursday of August.
Congratulations, for finishing your book.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I know. My gosh. Wonderful. It's been a big project. Thank you. Thanks so much, everyone. We love you.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch. Thanks again, Mike.
Right.
Thanks for staying on. Thanks,
everyone.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.